Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. What a great God you are. We serve the mighty. I am the great and mighty. I am. He is Jehovah El Elyon, the most powerful God. We honor you. We bow down before you, Father God. And we give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving this afternoon. What an amazing friend you are. There's no friend like you, Lord Jesus. You're the only one who can lay your life down. You laid your life down for us. You gave your only life so that we could have abundant life. You said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. There is protection, Lord God, in your name. We thank you, Lord God, that you're protecting us from seen and unseen dangers. Those things we can't see, those things we don't even know about, you're protecting us from them, Lord. You're protecting us from accidents, incidents, mishaps, mechanical breakdowns. You're continually protecting us. And we say, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are El Shaddai, Almighty God. Nothing is impossible to you. So, Lord, we can see the glory, praise, and thanksgiving. You are Adonai, our Lord, our Savior, our King, the King of Kings, the one who created us, the one who blew your breath into us. We say, hallelujah, you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you provide. You provide everything we need for life and godliness. You're providing hope. You're providing everything that we need, love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit in abundant supply. You are providing for us. What a great provider you are. Oh, my God, everything that we need. Oh, Lord, we just say, Father, we need you. We need you more than the skin on our bones. We need you more than the breath that we breathe every day. We need you, Lord God. Lord, I know you know all what's going on in the earth realm. You said, I made the eyes. Shall I not see? I made the ears. Shall I not hear? I made the mouth. I speak. And, Lord, you are speaking good things into us. Oh, yeah, you're speaking good things that we shall live and not die, and we shall declare your work. You are speaking, Lord God, that we are your very elect children, and we are called, oh God, by your name. What a mighty name you have. And Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the mighty healer. Oh, my God. You're healing us of all of our soul's diseases. You're healing us on a daily basis, Lord God. You are healing us morning, noon, and night. You are blessing our bread, our water. You are taking sickness away from us, oh God. You are doing great and mighty things in us. You are the mighty I am. You are the hope that we need when it looks like everything is falling, everything is going in the wrong direction. Oh, God, you're the one that keep us on a plain path. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on you because you know the way. You are the way maker. And so we're keeping our eyes fixed on you today, Lord God. Oh, we don't have any alternative other than to keep our eyes fixed on you, because without you, we don't know the way to go. We don't know where we are. But we do know, Lord God, that you are a great way maker, a miracle-making God. So we're trusting in you, Lord God. Oh, yeah, some trust in cars, airplanes, boats, ships, but we trust in you, the Almighty God. Hallelujah. You are teaching us to trust you more and more every day. Because, Lord, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we would be. But we are in your almighty palm of your almighty hand. What a palm you have. Oh, my God. You can hold all of us in your mighty palm. Nothing is impossible to you. We're grateful. God, like
thank you.
Hallelujah. We're thanking the Lord that he's ordering our steps in his word every day. I don't know if you pick up the basic instructions before leaving the earth. You know the Bible, that book. Don't let dust get on it. Read it, study it, obey it. Read it, study it, obey it. Do what God is telling you to do. Don't say, Lord, don't be like Moses. You know how Moses was. He gave all those excuses, and God cut them all down. But you know what? After a while, God got tired of the excuses. He was getting ready to kill Moses. If it had not been for his wife, who had some wisdom, God was going to kill him because he was tired of them excuses. He didn't look here. We can't keep giving excuses about why we can't do this. Well, Lord, my knees hurt. Lord, I got a headache today. Lord, my grandchildren. No, no, no. We got to obey. We got to obey God. He's waiting on us to get in the place where we need to be and obey him. So you know what? The word of God says in Psalms 148, hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, his entire heavenly army. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all shining stars. Praise him, your highest heaven, and the water above. Let them praise the name of the Lord, because they were created by his command. He set them in their place forever and ever. He made it a law that no one can break. Praise the Lord from the earth, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are praising the Lord today. You know what David did? He praised the Lord so much that, you know, he praised the Lord out of his clothes. So we got to praise him. You know, he said, love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And that's a lot of loving. And guess what? The other part, love each other like you love yourself. Don't give no excuse. Well, Lord, I would love her. I would love him. I would love them. No, no, no. Let's not give any excuses. Let's praise the Lord. Let's love each other. You know what? The world needs love. You know that song? What the world needs now is love. So thank God he is loving on us. And we got to pass that love to everybody we come in contact with. We can't give no excuses. Uh-uh. If Jesus had given an excuse, well, Lord, them people too wicked. Uh-uh. Teresa Gallen, she wicked. No, Lord, I can't go down there and die for her. Oh, she done too much. She even crucified me over and over. I can't love her. But thank God, Jesus loved us enough, me, you, and all of us, to, you know, overlook what we've done. He stands in the gap for us. He said, Father, don't kill Teresa. You know, let her have victory. I'm here so she can have victory. Don't kill nobody. I'm here so they can win. Win in victory. So I thank the Lord today. We have a mighty powerful woman of God on with us that's going to be singing today. And I tell you what, I appreciate her. She sings and gives God glory daily. So I thank God for the song of praise that come from her mouth. We have Minister Gloria Dean Charlotte on with us. She's from Marrero, Louisiana. We got Louisiana in the house today. We're thanking God for, you know what? God is amazing, God. He allowed the people in Louisiana to be victorious over that storm. That was a horrendous storm. Water, flood, it knocked electricity out. They were in heat, but God made a way. So today we have Minister Gloria Dean Charlotte on. She's going to sing a song of praise for us. Good afternoon, Minister Gloria Dean. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank God. Feeling good. Thank God for today. Thank God for everyone else. And thank God for you, because you sound good. And talking about love, praise God, that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. And I thank God. I'm looking forward to a great day today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to go on and sing. Lord, thank you for bringing me through. Okay. You can hear me, huh? Okay.
Very clear.
Hello?
Very clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. You brought the hero children to the rescue. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. If the Hebrew children knew the plan of God, they would have said, Lord, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, 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 thank you for bringing me through. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. That faith is bringing me through. That faith is bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, because you truly brought us through that idol. Hallelujah. 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 One thing about God, he'll never, ever stop taking care of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Hallelujah. Awesome. Glory to you. Yeah, our God is faithful. Thank God he brought us through the storm, the wind, the rain, our seats and our lawns, and the mountains.
Yes,
but he has and he will never
yes,
see
God.
Us. We thank God. Thank you so much.
Yes,
God. We have Minister Lanny McBride on with us from Jackson. She's going to sing a song of praise unto the Lord. We thank God for her. Good afternoon, Minister Lanny. How are you?
I'm fine, Sister G. Amen. God bless you. I heard you mention
Amen.
A word that I... a name for God. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, let me lay my head on you. Oh, El Shaddai, the blessed one, El Shaddai. Oh, yeah, El Shaddai, let me lay my head on you while I'm working, while I'm having my baby. El Shaddai, I want to rest in your arms. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, let me lay because of who you are, I give you glory. Oh, because of who you are, I give you praise. Oh, God, yeah, because of who you are, I will lay my voice and say, oh, Lord, I worship you all because of what you are. Oh, God, I trust in you. You're my Lord and you're my God. You're my Savior. Hallelujah.
our God, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi. Oh, God, you reign in victory. Oh, Jehovah Shalom, my Elisha. Hallelujah, God, my friend, Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you. Oh, God, I worship you. Oh, God, because you're so worthy.
Pray for all of us, for families right now. Hold on.
All righty. Oh, Minister Gloria Jean, praying for families all over the world. Thank you.
Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise, Father. We thank you, Lord, because, God, we can't just pray for our family, God. We got to pray for all families. God created all families. All families were created by you, Father. And as we pray for our families, God, we can't forget about all other families, God, because we're all going through the same thing. All the things that's happening now in the world, all families are going through the same thing. Every country, all over the world, the same in every nation, country, or foreign place. It's same thing is going on. Murdering, killing, same thing. That's why we got to pray. The same thing is going on, and we want to continue to lift up every family that's in the world today, God. And we pray, Father God, as Joshua said, as for we, us and our family, we will serve the Lord. The thing about it, our family is always something going on in our family that's out of God, even with our children. But, you know, when we give that scripture that says that as for us in our house, we will serve the Lord. Well, we can't worry about what's going on wrong with our children doing this, doing that, or grandchildren. Continue to pray for them. But when you quote that scripture, when you give that scripture and believe, they're going to come in. One day they're coming in if you believe. Tell me God's word is not true. God cannot lie. It says in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for your word settled in heaven, that we can use it anywhere and what it is. He says, by the way, we've gone through our sickness and diseases, by the stripes of Jesus Christ we're healed. Right now we want to pray for all families and that COVID right now that was going on with the virus. There are people in our families right now, even friends and all, that are in that disease right now, and prayers going on for them. And we want to pray for the ones even now that's in the hospital to COVID. We ask God that you cover them. Cover them with your precious blood, God. Cover all, Father God. Go in each one of the families all over the world, God, and just cover, Father. Cover with your precious blood, because, God, there is power. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for all families, Father, all over the world today, God. We give you glory, God, for keeping us in the palm of your hands, God. Can nothing pluck us out. And, Father God, we thank you. We leave with this prayer, God. Preserve us, God, from all evil. Preserve our souls. Preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. You're right.
Amen.
We're going through the same thing all over the world, and we need prayer. So you know what? It's time for the Word of God. We love the Word of God. It's nothing like the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut going and coming. Stuff out of us that we don't need. Cut that fear out of us. Cut that, you know how we speak stubborn to value speak? It'll cut that fear. I thank God for the work. Mighty God is God on my stuff today. Even for Georgia. I heard him a few weeks ago. He brought a message to us. And I'm trying to get rid of the static here. Hold on one second. He brought a word, or awesome word, a few weeks ago. So he's going to tell you a little bit about himself, where he's from, family, et cetera, whatever he chooses to. But I know Bishop Michael Patterson is with us in the house. Good afternoon, Bishop. How are you?
Praise the Lord. I'm doing pretty fine. And how are you all doing today?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen. Trusted in the Lord. We're here.
Okay. Very good. I just want to make sure that everything is clear.
Yes, it is.
And I give God praise for the opportunity to be here again. Whenever I have an opportunity to proclaim his name, to lift up the name of the Lord, it is a great delight. And thank you, Sister G, for inviting me to come again and to proclaim his word, his love to all mankind. So I want to start by saying, by way of testimony, the Bible did say in the book of Revelation, and they overcame the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's two phase. We are overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb, what God did for us. He gave his only begotten Son. Christ shed his blood. We overcome because of what God did through Jesus Christ for all humanity. But also, there is a companion to that action that God did. Not only did Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, but we have a testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Very important to note that. Your testimony is vital to your survival. Your testimony is vital to your strength and your journey in the Lord. I know there's sometimes Satan will like to throw you off of track by saying, I'm sick and tired of hearing that lady say those things. I'm sick and tired of that guy saying that. That Satan wants to dumb you down. He wants to shut you down. He wants to take your testimony away. Whatever testimony you have for the Lord, say it. Whenever, however, wherever. Give the Lord glory and honor and praise for the majesty and the mighty work that he has done in your life. Great and mighty things hath the Lord done. My journey began in South America as a little boy. I felt the hand of God upon me as a little child, and I would preach to my brothers and sisters when I was 5 years of age from a family of 12 children. And I'm the fourth. The fourth child in that family of 12 children. So I conducted little services in the bedroom, and I locked the door and kept them in there until we had a nice time of singing hymns and me teaching them the word of God the best that I knew how, which is very, very little. Just to lift up the name of the Lord and to testify of his goodness and to tell my brothers and sisters how we all ought to behave ourselves and be good to mommy and daddy. That's the fundamental message that I had. And believe me, it is biblical. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it was a fundamentally sound message. I did not understand the fullness of it, but I said it. And I felt presence whenever I did that. I knew the Lord was with me. And then I continue in my journey as a child, and then the Lord visited me in a very special way. And I say this with sincerity. I say this with a sense of sacredness. I did not seek for this unfolding, but he came. He visited me. And he's been doing that through the years, time and time again, like he's done in biblical days. I have heard his voice. I have seen his glory. And so, as I have traveled across the nations of the world, people's lives have been transformed by the proclamation of his living word. So to you that are listening today, get ready. There's something good coming your way, and there is something good always with you because the Lord God is with you all the time. Not sometime. He's with you in good times, bad times. He's with you when you're good, when you're bad, when you're indifferent. He is there. He loves us so much because we are his handiwork. We are his creation. Okay, so much for what the Lord has done in me, and he's taken me across many nations in the world. And my wife and I, we came here to America in 1970, and we were married in 1969, and then we continued our ministry there in Guyana, South America, and then we came here as the Lord led us in 1970. Here is home. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Did everything that we needed to do and follow all of the principles and studied and got all that I needed to get to make me a citizen of the United States of America, an intentional act. And I'm so glad that I'm here because from here I've been able to proclaim the word of the Lord east, west, north, south of America, into Canada, into Hawaii, Bulgaria, Romania, Yugoslavia, South Korea, all over Africa, whether it's East Africa, West Africa, South Africa, many nations in Africa like Nigeria, Ghana, Togo, and Dahomey, back in the eastern part in Kenya and the South Sudan and Ethiopia, and the list goes on, that God has allowed me to carry forth this word like I'm doing here right now. And believe me, he is with you all as he is with me. His presence is here. And I would like to say my heart grieves when I think of the way things have gone in our world, but more specifically in the church world, because we are the light of the world. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Without us, the world crumbles. I know there are many people like to blame government. They like to blame other people. They like to blame this, that, and the other. But actually, whenever there's a crisis in the land, it's because God's people have failed. And the Bible is very, very clear about that. When there's a crisis in the land, when there's difficulties in the land, God himself said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from the heavens. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. So yes, the cure comes through the believer. The healing in the land comes through the church, the body of Christ. And when I speak of the church, I'm not speaking of a denomination, Catholic, Lutheran, Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, Baptist, not that. I'm speaking about the redeemed of the Lord. That's the church, the true church. You cannot define it by buildings. The true church is never to be determined by buildings, even though that's what we have done. And we have allowed the ways of God to become dull. We have allowed the ways of God to become competitive, to become political. We've allowed the ways of God to be forsaken because we have labeled it wrongly so. And so many people are very, very proud. I go to that church. That's my church. We got 5,000 members. Oh, that, well, let me say this. Jesus said about the church, he said, I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's what he said. If two or three of you are gathered together, I am there in the midst. That's the church at work, the presence of the Lord with the gathering of the saints. It doesn't have to be 1,000. It doesn't have to be 10,000. As a matter of fact, to those of us who have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and we pay attention, the most mighty acts of God in the Bible didn't come by crowds. They were solitary acts of God. Let's take, for instance, and I'm just throwing it out randomly, Moses, when he saw the bush in fire and the voice spoke to him and led him as an anointed deliverer to the children of Israel. Who was there? Actually, no one was there but Moses and the burning bush. Yet still, excuse me, we have that record today, not because somebody agreed with Moses and somebody said, well, I was there and I saw that. Moses just testified it. And also, the commandments of the Lord were given unto Moses. He was on top of the mountain while the children of Israel were in mischief. They were not doing what God wanted them to do, but the man of God was hearing from the Lord, and he came down. And he gave the words of the Lord. Oh, may God raise up more men and women who will declare his righteousness, who will declare his power to the nations of the world, not brag on your church building. For all of these things that we see, buildings everywhere, doesn't matter to Jesus. The fact of it is that if you would pay attention, Jesus not once paid attention to telling the disciples that when I want you to go into all the world and I want every place you go, I want to make sure you get be sure to get 10 acres or get 100 acres and then build a nice building for me. He never did it. Jesus never instructed the apostles or the disciples to build buildings. Now, I know it is a convenience and nothing is wrong with it, but the focus, it was on people. Go into the highways and byways and hedges, bring them back deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's a summary of what we should be about, how far we have fallen from it. We begin to brag on our buildings. We begin to brag on those things that are not God's structures. God's building is not made by man's hands. There's a city that we will all go to, not made by man's hands. No boats, for all of the kingdoms of the world will crumble. They will come down. And I want to therefore bring you to the heart of what we are supposed to represent that is failing miserably in our times. It must grieve the heart of God. John 3:16 says these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the story of redemption. God giving his only begotten Son. And it was an act of love, an intentional, willful, targeted act of love to all mankind. For God so loved the world. And oftentimes, we have missed it. We get arrogant because we think we have the Holy Ghost and we have the word of the Lord, and so we're better than others. No, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible does not teach that. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the love and the mercy of God. And this is what we need to now walk in. We need to walk in that anointing. We need to walk with that understanding. We need to manifest that understanding. So today, I challenge those of us who are listening to hear the word of the Lord. Let's get back to the basic, for it's therein we find true life. Had Christ not gone to the cross, where would we be? Had Jesus not come down from heaven and give all that he can give, his everything, where would we be? Not by works of righteousness, not by our skill or talent, not by our ability are we saved. We are saved because of the act of redemptive love. So I want you to read, let me read this passage of scripture that is so important to what we're saying, and that is 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. It says, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Carefully, think of it. So the Lord has made a declaration. Don't say you love me. Don't lay claim to loving God when you're hating people. You hate people because they're black, they're brown. You hate people because there are other nationalities and other languages. You hate people because they don't walk according to your doctrine as you see it. You hate people and you resent them because they don't come to your church, and they need to come to your church to really hear the true word of God. Now, God's got so many ways in which he conveys his word, but the heart of God's way of conveying redemption to mankind is through you. You, dear sister. You, dear brother. And we must do it by loving, by caring, by kindness, not hostility, not denigration. We're living in a world of calamity. And the Bible warns us that in the last days there shall be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences and famines and all kinds of difficulties across the world. The world is groaning and moaning in convulsion. And God is going to come down and redeem us out of this crisis. And there is a promise that he gave, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So it all begins with God and his love. Let's go a little further back. The love of God was manifested in this way that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And then we see God coming and looking at the chaotic earth, looking at the world without form, a world that was chaotic, a world that was steeped in darkness. And he said, let there be light. And God said, it's good. And the evening and daytime was called the first day by God. So we are locked in this vortex that we call time. However old you may be, maybe you're 20, maybe you're 60, maybe you're 50, maybe you're 70, maybe you're 80. This thing called time that measures our journey was started up by God. Time is not something that controls God. God is outside of time. He called the first day into being. And he said, it's good. And he separated the waters from the firmament. And he continued this wonderful architecture, this wonderful artistry of developing a beautiful earth with mountains and lakes and streams and valleys and trees and everything. And God said, it's good, it's good. I like it, I like it, I like it. I like what I see. And then when he did it and he looked at it, he said, now, let us make man in our own image and likeness. God did not bring us into chaos. God did not bring us into a suffering world. Something happened. Man fell. Man disobeyed God in a garden that everything was there. And I like to emphasize it. The wealth of the world belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And when God began to build man out, God said, take it. Adam, first of all, emerged. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then God said, it's all yours, Adam. You can take it all. All of the real estate, all of the lakes, all of the valleys, all of the mountains, all of the animals, all of the birds, all of the bees, all of the creation that you can see, and you can name whatever, name it all. Name it all, Adam. I've given you that capacity that you're able to name the animals. Whatever Adam said, God said, it is so. What's that over there, Adam? He said, oh, that's a sheep. God said, it's a sheep, it's a sheep. How? Adam said so. And so the world was brought before Adam in a beautiful state of being before Adam came. So when he emerged, he was given the gift of life and the gift of the beauty of the earth. I'm so thankful to God for that lesson, because what it tells me is God loves all of us and he wants to take care of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So God, his intention towards all humanity is to bring us into a place of safety and security and beauty. And he created that scenario before we came alive. And now we find ourselves in this chaos, this chaotic earth, because of sin. And in spite of that, we are told by God's word that Jesus Christ that he gave is the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. So now God built in a redundancy system. Before he put Adam into place, Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, because God was not going to make him love him. God was not going to make him be righteous. God gave him the power to make a choice. And a choice that was very sorrowful is when they choose to disobey God's word and they partook of the fruit. God did not stop them. He gave them that power. And God has endowed all human beings with the power of choice. I know there's all of this argument with pro-choice and pro-life. Let me say this, brethren. It's a stupid argument. It's an argument that Satan has planted to create havoc in the body of Christ. It's a stupidity of you're using your imagination and not understanding the worth of God's gift to mankind. The worth of God's gift to humanity is God has given you the power to choose. And I say this to you, brethren, even those who are so proud that they are pro-choice, they have short-circuited the wonder of God. Sorry, I mean, they are pro-life. They are pro-life. They've short-circuited the wonder of God because you don't have salvation without choice. You're redeemed because you made a choice. Don't take the element of choice out of life. Satan wants to do that because he wants to step in and dominate and make you do whatever he dictates. Even God does not do that. God said, I will make man in my own image and likeness, which God is a creator. God can make things happen. He can design. He's an engineer. He can make wonders happen. And God has given us that gift to create, to make things happen, to develop, not locked into a vortex where we are controlled and things are demanded of us by force. The beauty of our lives is that God made us to be like him, knowing that being like him, we should be doing right. As long as we've matured into his image and likeness, we will choose to do that which is honorable. Adam did not mature. Adam and Eve, they did not mature into the fullness of what God was saying. Making man in his image and likeness, he broke contract. He broke contract. But God placed that redundancy system just in case. The lamb that is slain from the foundation of the world before we were made, before Adam was made, a fail-safe system. So it broke down, but there is redemption that is put into place so that what God said in making man in his own image and likeness will not fail. Whatever God says will come to pass. So his image and likeness will emerge in completeness in all the humanity that walk with him. And so we have made the choice to follow the Lord, to walk with Jesus, and we are becoming more and more like unto him day by day. For the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We are moving on into perfection, and God is releasing the anointing. He is releasing the understanding. But note carefully, it gets back to this area, this aspect of love. Love is the completeness. When we have this unconditional attitude of loving humanity like God does, then we're becoming like him. I know there are many people walk around with hate. They want to kill people because they're this, that, and the other. And they feel very, very satisfied. And the word of God said in the last days, people will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. So there is this bloodlust. There is this lust in the world to kill, to destroy. But he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the work of Christ in you and me. We see the chaos. We see the devastation in mankind. We see how the sinfulness of mankind and all of these bad things we find ourselves doing across the world. And you know what? For God so loved the world when we were all wrong. We were all sinful. We were all wicked. We all failed. And he was loving failures. He had that passionate love for failures, for sinful people, for people who had gone astray. He commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. How about meditating upon this? When you begin your journey walking with God and determine what does that mean for me as I see people, red, yellow, black, or white? What attitude should I have to people that are sinners, that are alcoholics, people who have lost their way? What's the attitude should I have? I can only give you the reference of how does God feel about all mankind. The record is very clear. God loves the world. But too many churches and believers, they have not gotten the depth and the magnitude and the wisdom and the wonder of God's love. Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the love I owe, that in thine ocean depths is flow may richer, fuller be. The love of God is just incomprehensible. We cannot define it, but we must admire it, and we must walk towards it. We must strive to embrace that love, which means you can't hate a white man because he's done bad things to you if you're black. You can't hate black people because you think they're no good in your own sight. It doesn't matter the condition of any human being. Let's believe God this day that Christ coming into the world unconditionally, why he knew more than any one of us knew the wickedness of the world. And yet still, he embraced the task of giving the world, giving us his best, giving us his life. Oh, we tend to do good things to people who we like, people who are our favorites, and we diss those whom we don't like. Sometimes in families, we have hatred and strife, and we get rid of people in their family we don't like, and God, who made us all, knows more about your family. He knows more about you than you know about yourself and others know about you. He knows more about everyone. And even though this Creator God knows the fullness of who all of us are, more than we know ourselves, and things that we have gotten amnesia about because we are afraid to remember, God has not forgotten. But in that state, God sent Christ as redemption. We must therefore go to the world reaching out with that aura, that distinction, that intentionality to smile every day. As you see people smile, open the door for somebody. Say, howdy do. Say something nice. Be kind. Even though you're challenged to slap somebody, don't do it. Allow the love of God that passes all understanding to keep your hearts and your minds this day. I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to open just a little of this, because the Word of God shows us that the love of God is unquenchable. The love of God is eternal. And as a matter of fact, in bringing this message to conclusion, and there's so much to it, but let's bring it to this. The Bible says God is love. He is love. I know we like to think of God as a verb. Oh, God loves me. God does love, and God loves, but he's more than a verb. God is a noun. He is the person, the personality. He is just the embodiment of the meaning of love. He's never divorced from it. He is never separated from it. It's coming your way right now. Even when you've done what you shouldn't have done, go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, help me to make right these things that I have done wrong. Help me, Lord God, to be at one with my husband or ex. Help me to be at one with my children, my family. Help me to be at one with all races and nationalities. They don't have to like you back. The challenge is, love your enemies. That's what Jesus said. I said to you, love your enemies. Now, that's the hallmark. Decide that you're going to define your way of response to all humanity like Jesus has. And Jesus was when he was here in this world. I thank you for listening. And hopefully, we have reminded ourselves what we've heard in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves us all, red and yellow, black and white. We've heard all of these things. Now let's go and begin to practice it. Don't boast in your big building. Don't boast in your, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And God is love. And he put that love into motion in our redemption. Father, I thank you this day. And I ask that your healing love will flow through every fiber, every atom of our being. Let that consolation, let that sense of understanding bring us peace and joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us live every day with a sense of gratitude because of who you are and what you have done and what we look forward to because of what you've prepared and you have in store for all of us. In the name of Jesus, strengthen us and heal those who may be suffering in their bodies this day. Heal, O God, every part of our being, whether it's in the bones, in the joints, in the muscles, in the arteries, in the veins, in the heart, in the brains, Lord God. Heal every single part of our body and help us to function like you made us and created us to function. Let sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Let us be well and be whole in him. Thank you, God. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Bishop, remember you were giving some testimonies about when you were in different countries, people acted and how you helped them get delivered. Can you tell us something about that?
Oh, yes. You know, one of the things, when you're traveling in different cultures, you say things that sometimes can come across the wrong way, and you're not being wrong. You're 100% right the way you are raised up. But then another culture expresses it differently, and that's one of the amusing things that has happened to me through the years. When I said things, having come to America, I said certain things that was, somebody could have slapped me or punched me. And then somebody came to me, hey, you know what you just said, man? What? And they're like, oh, no, man, that doesn't mean that. When I said that, it means this. And so they took the time to listen to me and educate me of this culture. And so I'm aware everywhere I travel, there's a different relationship of cultures. Now, in our traveling, people, as long as Jesus is lifted up, this is the beauty of it all. It is not our intellectual skill. It is not our theological greatness. It is truly Christ. So the Lord has allowed me to stand before countless thousands in South Korea, Bulgaria, and Romania, teaching thousands of preachers, ministers, and conferences, and ministering into massive crowds in stadiums and open fields in Nigeria, Ghana, and all over the Africa, South Africa, everywhere I've gone, I've reached out. And the thing that I have been delighted in, God is faithful to his word. There are times when people standing in an audience and they're blind and they begin to scream, they can see. I didn't touch them. But the one who sent me is everywhere and he's listening to what I'm saying and he is right there with you now. And you can receive your miracle without me laying hands on you because it's not my hands. It's the presence of the Lord. So I've had the beauty of seeing right here in America, preaching in white churches where mighty miracles took place. I can, one of the things I can remember, I was ministering in an Ohio town and it's no blacks there and I'm preaching to white people. And I began to preach and gave an altar call. People came, gave the hearts to the Lord. And so many wonderful things happened. But the particular thing, lots of salvation and healings has taken place. But I'm referring to this one. I did not lay my hands on this person. I received a letter several months later from that town. And it was a lady that sent a letter and a picture of her child, blonde and blue-eyed girl, that was about a 17-year-old girl, and she wrote this nice letter, and she said, Brother Patterson, I just want to tell you, when you were here and you were preaching, I noticed my daughter next to me was being restless. I didn't understand what it was. And by the time we got home, she was holding her ears. She was born deaf. She was a deaf mute. She was just holding her ears. She was restless in the service, and then she began to illustrate to them in the sign language she can hear. And she told them what happened. While I was preaching, all she heard is pop, pop in her head, and she began to hear songs. She didn't understand the meaning of it, but she knew what was happening. Pop, pop, just like that. And I'm here to tell you, she's been completely healed. She began to not only hear, she began to speak. Long after that, they sent me letters, messages, thanking the Lord. I didn't lay hands on her. I'm very careful to let people know this is not I lay my hands on you. No, I don't want to associate that. Yes, we can lay hands. He says so. But people being deaf, hearing, there are hundreds that I've seen happen, perhaps thousands across the world in our ministry. And people were born blind, receiving their sight. And many times, without my even touching them, and they begin to scream and shouting in the distance. Or, I never forget, this one was so precious. I was in Church of God in Christ convention and a convocation up there in Virginia. And in that service, they began to preach. At the back, there was a little stirring. And I said, what's that at the back there? And there's a lady got up and she was running around in the back shouting. They actually went and brought her to the service because she was had a stroke or something and she was crippled. And she was sitting there, could not walk for many years. And they knew her. And she just got up and started running and shouting. She just got healed while I'm talking. And when she said that, back of me, there was at least about 40 to 50 of the Church of God in Christ ministers and bishops that were behind me. And when they heard that, they began to run and touch me. And so I'm touching them because I couldn't preach anymore. People were running and getting touched because the presence of the Lord was there to heal. And all of a sudden, in that ministration of the Spirit, there was an elderly preacher that everybody knew in that jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ. He had had a serious problem with his knee, and they took out his kneecap so he couldn't walk. And he began to scream, and I said, what's really happening back there? And he started shouting. He said, oh, my God. He said, oh, my God. He said, all of y'all in here know me. I had surgery, and they took my kneecap out, but there was a kneecap here right now. All of a sudden, zap, a kneecap appeared in his knee. Now, I'm not saying this. I didn't lay hands on the fellow. The gentleman, he started shouting, and with that, scores of preachers, you knew it, ran. They ran to him and began to hold his knee because they wanted to test it for themselves. And when they were touching his knee and they felt that knee there, many of them were just jumping and dancing and running around. It was just pandemonium because they got a testimony of a preacher that they knew whose kneecap was gone, and all of a sudden, boom, in the presence of the Lord there, a kneecap came right in. And they ran to touch it. They didn't just take his word for it. They didn't ask. I didn't tell them, go check it out. They spontaneously went. And when they did, they started jumping and shouting. And it was just wonderful. We have seen scenes like that over and over and over again, beginning where I came from in Guyana and across the world. It's a real phenomenon. It's a real wonder. And to those of you that are listening, please believe our God. It is not the man that is proclaiming the word. It is the God who gave the word, and he's saying, I confirm the word with signs and wonders following. There are so many dramatic miracles that I've seen, some of them, if we were to write, some people wouldn't even believe it, but many of these things were medically tested, and it was just simply unbelievable when doctors looked at it. They couldn't believe what they were looking at. And I was ministering, and I'm going to finish with this one, ministering there in Indiana, spent 5 years in Indiana, and then in our church service here came this lady. It was a mixed congregation, and I define it because I want you to know the power of God has nothing to do with black or white. A lot of people feel, oh, the guy is a mighty, wonderful, anointed man of God because he's white. Yeah, you believe that, and you leave the black community, and you're thinking that way. If I go to Brother Benny Hinn, and if I go to that white preacher, he will lay his hands on me, and this will happen. When you begin to think that, you lost your miracle. You lost it because God is not going to share his glory with any. So you got to get it off of any of us, red, yellow, black, or white. You've got to think this is the work of God, and he can do it at any time, any place. This lady came in, and she had on a cast. She could barely walk. They helped her in, a cast from her waist up to her shoulder. Her back was broken. She nearly died. She's on vacation, major accident. The vehicle turned over many times, and so she was there in a body cast. But he brought her to the service. And I laid hands and prayed for her. My sister, believe in God, and believe God for you. And I did pray for her, and she left the service. And this is what happened after she left the service. She got home. She told her husband, she said, you know, I'm healed. She said, how do you know, baby? I'm healed. When Brother Pastor sprayed me, I felt something go down my spine, and I don't feel a pain. I can move. I'm going to the doctor and tell him, take this cast off of me. So she did. She went the next day and said, doctor, I want you to take this cast off. I'm healed. And he said, whoa. He would be an irresponsible doctor to go take a cast off of somebody whose back was just broken in a major accident. And he said, you've got to wait at least 8 more weeks before we do some tests. That's what was told to her by the doctor. So here she is, less than a week away, out of this thing that was shown up on an x-ray. And he said, no. She said, I am healed. I know it. She said, lady, look, lady, I don't want to take responsibility for this. She said, he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will send you to get an x-ray. X-ray your back again. And if it shows that it's okay, then I'll cut it off. So she went and got an x-ray. And so he held the x-ray up that showed her back that was broken in 3 places. And then he held this new x-ray up and held it up to the next one and started crying. It was after her back was never broken. She just started crying. The doctor started, he said, what happened? What did you? He said, she said, I went and brother, I knew him, and I understand what God does in his services. And she said, I went and I was healed. And he cut the cast off of her back, and she brought the cast and just put it on the stage and left it there. Walked right in with the cast that was cut off and just put it down on the stage. She had no need for it. But he verified it with this x-ray that showed the broken, damaged spine, and the new one within a week or so is completely perfect. That nothing ever happened. How do you do that? Nobody does that but God. Let there be light, and the entire world was lit. The entire world. He speaks, and the sound of his voice creates wonders. I've seen many, many things. And I could tell you more, but this is taking up too much time, but that gives you an indication of what I have tasted, and the Lord has allowed me to see it, and for whatever reason, he has allowed this to come to me as a child and never left me, because he never leaves, he never forsakes us. He's a good God, and he is just the same way to you, right where you are there. It is not something that is so special to me that is not with you. That's not true. God wants you to understand that God is God wherever he is. And he's not just with Michael Patterson. He's with Sister Ganton, Sister G. He's with every last one of you. And he's not a different God with you than he is when he's with Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn or whoever you want to identify as these people that get these special gifts. And sometimes God does raise people with special gifts and a charisma to attract people to hear his word. But the fact of the matter is, it is bigger than that person. Every child of God has that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you. And he will quicken your mortal body. Receive it.
Amen. Okay, amen. I love unconditional love. I thank you so much, Bishop Patterson. He's talking about God's unconditional love. And, you know, he was saying that when we say that we love God but we don't love each other, we're telling a lie. So love it, God's unconditional love. We have to learn to love each other. When we learn, he talked in his other message about when we learn to love each other, the murder's going to stop, the violence, the crime, all of that's going to stop because we have unconditional love, that same kind of love. Now, we can't get that love by ourselves. We have to depend upon God. He will give us unconditional love each other. Mm. And so I thank you so much for that message. Bishop has traveled all throughout the world. He's had great experiences, you know, with people, you know, experiencing unconditional love. They sometimes were angry because, you know, like he said, they were from different nationalities and they had their own religion. But then they learned about the unconditional love of God, and God changed their heart. So we're asking God today to change our heart, change our mindset, because sometimes the way we look at things, he said, no, don't lean to your own understanding. I want you to lean to my understanding. And my understanding is higher than yours, higher than yours. So I thank God. Thank you so much, Bishop Patterson, for that awesome message. I'm going to ask Sister Lanny if she could say a short prayer for you to refresh you for the message that you poured us. We are thankful to God for you. Sister Lanny, could you say a short prayer for Bishop? Her phone may be on mute. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm checking now. She may be on mute.
She on mute?
I'm unmuting the phones now. Hold on. All right. Sister Lanny, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Can you pray for this? Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. You want me to pray for Bishop? I was hoping
for a short prayer for his restoration.
Amen. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, so precious, Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the gift of Bishop to us, the gift of Jesus, who is the gift to us all. We lift Bishop up to you now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that whatever his heart needs, whatever his hands need, whatever he needs for his journey, whatever he needs in his whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, economical, social, whatever he needs, God, you have equipped him to receive it right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for anything that has assaulted him in any way, anything that's not of you that dares to get in his way to stop the work that you're doing. We pray that they fall to the ground and die and have no power, no authority. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus and agree with the angels that you have on assignment with him, even legions of angels. In the name of Jesus, we so thank you, God.
Hey, Pastor.
Would you honor us by
you look
honoring
so
to extend and expand the power that you have in him so he can do a work for the kingdom of God. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. We thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayer. We so love you. We love him and all the folks on this line right now who desire to simply please you, to be a worker in the kingdom of God. We so love you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory. Glory.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Is there anyone who needs special prayer today? I'm going to unmute the line. Anybody who needs special, a very, very special prayer, you know, that you want the Lord, something, you know, you want the Lord to do for you today. We're going to ask Bishop to pray in a few minutes. I'm muting the lines now so you can speak. If you have your radio on, TV on, or talking to someone, you can mute your lines back. We appreciate it. So So you can mute your own line back. But okay, I'm going to take a request now.
This is Talana.
And this is
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Talana. No, Talana, go ahead, babe.
This is Talana to get past some hurdles in my life and continue to move forward with love.
Okay, Bishop, you want to pray for Sister Talana to move past the hurts and move forward in her life?
Okay. My God, you feel you're touched with the feelings of our infirmities or pain. You hear our moaning. That's why you came down into Egypt and you liberated people, oh God, who were under oppression and pain and difficulty. And even so today, Lord God, there's moaning in the land. There's pain in the land. There's difficulties on the earth. We're suffering in all kinds of ways, oh God, that we cannot even imagine or comprehend, but you know it all. And so, my sister, you know the heart of it. And we are asking and agreeing that you'll flow through her and let the quickening of the Holy Spirit speak unto her. Let her receive this testimony of the goodness and the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. And all, Lord God, who are needy this day, you know, and we bring them before you, Lord God, and we're thanking you in advance for a complete miracle for all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. All right, when you make your request, can you state your name and make your request short as possible, please? Thank you. Who is next?
Sister Lane.
Yeah, I'm Minister
Bowen. Oh, okay, go ahead, Sister Lane. Okay, Minister Bowman and then Sister Lane. Go ahead. Sister Bowman, go
good
ahead.
Good evening. I'd just like for you all to pray for me and my family. I'm going through a lot. I had an auntie that have a massive heart attack on last night, and just pray my strength that, you know, God will intervene. And, you know, he'll get the glory. Amen. And keep praying for my little brother, my pal Staff and Travis and my nephews and all them. Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you
Father.
So much, Minister
mm-hmm.
Bishop, she lost
Father,
her husband
heard.
A few months
mm-hmm.
just recently.
Oh,
okay. So you're praying for her
family. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You heard. You heard. You said we can come and make a request known unto the Lord. Come before the throne of the Lord. And here we are, Lord God. You are hearing what we just heard. And you heard it before we heard it. You knew of this. Before she was even born, you knew about this moment. And you planned it, O Lord God, for her healing and for her peace and for her deliverance and for her family. Oh, God, we ask that your presence will speak into all of these issues, oh God, in their multitude of ways. And we're thanking you, Lord God, for showing forth your praises through the lips of your people as they have this testimony of the miraculous answer from God. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. All right, Sister Laney, go ahead.
Yes, I'm asking for intercessory prayer for two of my brothers. One brother, well, both of them need physical healing, miracle of physical healing, and one in particular, and perhaps both of them, from a spirit of hurt from something across the years, that they can be healed of that hurt and use it to be empowered to go farther in the Lord. We just pray for their deliverance from hurt. And to move forward in the ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. They both love the Lord, dealt with some health concerns. So, just need a miracle there, both those answers.
Praise God. Praise God. Lord, you hear the cry. You hear every cry. You hear every moaning, every groaning. Your ears are not deaf to us. Even when our loved ones don't understand, you understand exactly what we're feeling, what we're going through. We're unable oftentimes to articulate it. And Lord God, sometimes when we try to, we're told to hush. We're told to just forget it. We're told to just let it go and let bygones be bygones. Yet still, these pains travel with us. They travel with us. Just like the sin in the Garden of Eden is traveling through the human race. It hasn't left us because time has elapsed. Help us to be sensitive to one another. When we hear the moaning and the groaning and the repetitious cry, be there for our loved ones. Let us be there for each other. And let's not shush each other up, but let us tell each other the Lord loves you and we love you. And to continue praying and putting our hands around them and let them know it's all right. It's going to be okay because you, Lord, see and you know. Reach into the depths of our brothers, like no one else can. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? To make it very brief, state your name, brief prayer request, please.
Yes, this is Jessica Turner, and I am praying, needing prayer for my nephew who was diagnosed with COVID and also for the manifestation of the healing of my physical eyesight.
Praise God.
What's your name again?
Praise the Lord.
Jessica.
Thank you, Lord, for Jessica.
My cousin.
Thank you, Lord. Let her sight be healed completely. Thank you for Jessica, Lord God, who has expressed the pain someone with COVID, the pain and the difficulty. They need your help, Lord God, for this plague that is in the land, that is around the world. You are the healer. And we call upon you, Lord God, manifest it. Let it be seen and known again and again and again amongst us. Let us have this testimony. Let us have this testimony this day for we give you glory and honor and praise, for we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Is this Jessica, my cousin?
Who's this speaking?
Miss G. Jessica was invited by me. This is Sister Laney. She partners with me in ministry on Tuesday night. Jessica was invited by me.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bless you.
Okay. Any more prayer requests? They'll be causing out some. Make it, state your name and a brief prayer request. Thank you, Jessica.
Sister Annette.
Thank you.
Okay. Sister Annette, I wanted to ask for prayer for Hertz, too, as well. And, Bishop, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place in my walk with God, and I need a refreshing, restoration. I need help. And I appreciate your prayers.
Very well, Rev. Very, very much so, Annette. And so I lift you before our Lord. He has heard you. He hears every cry. Not a sparrow falls to the ground but that he notices. Be assured he knows everything about this, more than you know. And he's got you covered. May the peace of God flood the heart of my sister and so many others listening that are struggling with inner strife, inner contentions, inner difficulties. Let them not be overwhelmed by this and feel like they are somehow unique and it's only them this pain is visiting, but let them be conscious that it's the condition of humanity, but you, Lord God, are the healer. You, Lord God, are the peace. And you've given to us a peace that passes all understanding. You promise it to us, Lord God. Help us to take a hold of it now and walk in this peace that the world did not give and the world can't take it away. We refuse to take it. We're thanking you, God, for your peace that is always with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Hello.
All right. Anybody else?
Esther Collins. Thank you, Jesus. I enjoyed this. But I like prayer for continued. The Lord continue to heal my body. I was diagnosed with lung cancer, but I just want y'all to pray for me.
Okay.
I finished chemo and I finished radiation.
Yes. My sister, years ago, my wife, was afflicted with cancer, and she had a battle with cancer three times. Three battles. The first time, 8-hour surgery. I felt so hurt. I've seen so many miracles. Why, Lord? Why did you let this happen? Look, we don't control things, but God is in charge. And that cancer recurred the second time. The doctors didn't give her much hope, but then they did their part in what they could do, and surgery and radiation and chemotherapy. And then the third time when it came back, they thought that it was metastasized and that it's going to be, she didn't have much time. But I want you to know that we've celebrated March Gone for 52nd wedding anniversary. We've been married 52 years. And Satan wanted to take her away many years ago because it's over 20 years that she had that last bout with cancer. She's been cancer-free for over 20 years. Look, it looks dreadful in the moment we're going through. It was dreadful for me because we have feelings. I'm watching my wife, how she dwindled, and watching it. But there she was with me in church, sitting at the platform, ministering, and they could see her suffering. And we continued. And the final attack that this thing did, when the doctor went in, he came back to me, and he said, Reverend, he said, I don't know, this is weird. He said, this is weird. A Jewish doctor. He came and he said, this is weird, Reverend. I said, what's weird? He said, we opened up the place where the cancer was supposed to be, and what we saw there was a pouch. We saw a pouch. And it was surprising to them. And it just slipped the pouch out. There was no long surgery now. They just cut it out, and they took that pouch to the lab, and they cut it open, and it was cancer in it. But the pouch surrounded this third attack of cancer. They just surrounded it, and it couldn't grow. It couldn't go anywhere. So, yes, it visited and tried to attack her again. But the Lord said, no, you're not going to do this. And this pouch go around there. Now, I understood that what's happened. We know that. This Jewish doctor said, I don't understand this. This is just weird. They didn't have much to do just to slip it out, check it. Yes, it's cancer. No cancer anywhere around her. And so that was over 20 years ago. It never came back. God spoke. And so God speaks to you and to all who battle cancer. He is the healer. He is our healer. With the stripes we are healed. Let us experience it, oh God. In Jesus' name, let my sister experience this. You've done it for millions through the ages. She's one who cries out for this healing and her requests. You're hearing these requests, oh God. You promised us that we will hear and answer our prayers. And you said that we must come to the throne of grace boldly, that you will answer us. And I'm thanking you. If we ask anything in Jesus' name, promise that the Father will do it, that he'll be glorified in the Son. Get glory, Lord God. Be glorified in Jesus. Let Jesus be lifted up. Let the Lord be lifted up in this. Amen. And amen.
Praise amen. God. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Prayer request. State your name and briefly a request. All right. Well, it's closing time. I thank God for each one of you coming on today on the Wednesday midweek Bible study. We'll be on again next Wednesday for our Wednesday midweek Bible study. You're welcome to join us 12 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, praise the Lord. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. And keep all of us in prayer. All of us need prayer. We thank God for you, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we close out, but not from your presence. We just give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. Thank you for each and every person who came on. We thank you for what they received, oh God, for what was ministered to them. Father, we honor you. You are the great and mighty I Am. You are the King of Kings. You are ordering our steps daily, daily walking close with you. So we just bless you today, Lord God. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. Even those who didn't mention prayer requests, for their silent requests. Thank you that you honor silent requests as well. And so, Father, bless us. Just talk with us. Be a lamp and a light to our pathway in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all.
Amen.
Have a great day.
Praise the Lord. Bless.
Amen.
God bless.